Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. KC got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man, we're just about a minute away from quitting time here on the first day of spring, the first day of March Madness. Tournament action, by the way, on our sister station, WAOK, 1380 News and Talk, if you want to check some of that out. Some really interesting storylines going down. Louisville went down today, and we were getting a kick out of watching that one as Chris Mack, who came over from Xavier, takes it in the shorts with the Cardinals as Rick Pitino's son, who's coaching the Gophers, takes out Louisville. And then Auburn, man, they had to basically nail-bite it. Might not have any fingers left, let alone fingernails, in that win over New Mexico State.
Yeah. We got to see Bruce Pearl for another 3 days or whatever. But, I mean, this is the most exciting part. You talked about how, guys, we get together, we hit certain establishments and sit and watch all the games on all the TVs. But this weekend right here is for the upsets. You know what I'm saying? But eventually, Mike, we know that we want our own, you know, the Blue Bloods. We want to see the Dukes and UConn and all those teams.
But right now, the big storyline, Michigan State grinding against Bradley. Of course, last year they got upset by a 15 seed, so Tom Izzo not looking to get another exit. Last year, Middle Tennessee State got him. Right now, it's the fighting whatevers of Bradley to giving Sparty all they can handle. Florida State also held on to beat Vermont. We'll get more on the tournament from Mike Conte coming up at 5:20. But right now, guys, the Falcons report brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Today, the Falcons decide they're going to hold on to Justin Hardy for one more year. And we had a mixed bag of feelings from Falcon fans when that broke earlier today. Some guys saying, what does he do? Some guys saying, I don't quite understand it. Some guys saying he's a good role player for the Falcons, and, you know, he has 5 touchdowns over 2 seasons. What do you make of Justin Hardy sticking around? Hey, turn Randy's mic on for crying.
I'm good now. Good. I couldn't. My headphones was not working, so I was trying to adjust them to get to work.
Know your gear, man.
We're good.
Know
man.
Your
we're
gear.
Good. We're good now. But, no, I don't understand. Mike, this is my thing. Is it more or less, is he a camp body, or is he – contending for the fourth slot, the fourth receiver position, because he has a role. Mm-hmm. I get that. Okay, he's your fair catch punt returner, and he's your Z in in your offense when you don't want to put Julio in on running plays. That's the role that he played a lot last year. So are they gonna? Have you seen enough from him to warrant a bigger role?
Yeah, it's nothing against Justin Hardy, but I've seen enough. I mean, you know, he came in from ECU. You guys got speed. We've always kind of waited for Justin Hardy to take it next level, and he's never taken it next level. And now you don't need him to take it next level because I got Sanu at least for one more year, and I've got Ridley now as the heir apparent to Julio. I don't know, unless Cutter thought this was a good idea, or as you said, it's simply just an extra body. But Justin Hardy's here. By the way, we do like to start the 5 o'clock hour, and we do every hour on the program with a big Hardy.
Hey, man.
Carl's out today. Carl's got a personal day. You got to use him, baby. So me and Randy for the next two as we work our way towards the weekend. But today, watching some tournament, talking about the Falcons. The other story today is that the Indianapolis Colts, they assign a guy that we had talked about. I wish the Falcons had picked him up years ago when he was coming out of Georgia, Justin Houston. He's getting up there. He's 30. He's had some hard times staying healthy. Yeah. But a 2-year deal, and actually Vic Beasley will make more money than Justin Houston this year.
You had to put that in there.
78.5 sacks, 4 Pro Bowls versus our man.
You had to put that one in there. But, hey, that's a great deal for the Colts. If he can stay healthy, he's going to get you double-digit sacks. And you need another – that was one problem. If the Colts had a weakness, it was their consistent pass rush. You got a guy that can get after the quarterback now, and they had all that money to spend. So, I mean, this didn't even put a dent in all that cap space they got.
Mm.
Not even a dent.
Yeah, the Falcons have the 30th of the 32 NFL teams' least cap space. There still could be some more moves, and we'll hear from Thomas Dimitroff coming up here about some of the things they were asked about at Georgia's Pro Day yesterday. But Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, guys. Right now, half off your favorite pizzas. It's only on the pizza deals, guys. Nothing else on the menu, but get all the details at Domino's.com. It is a perfect weekend to make it a pizza party with hoops and everything else that's going on. But let's hear from Thomas Dimitroff. First things, Randy, you will get some cap relief when they move Julio's money, I presume, in a bonus that's going to lessen the cap hit?
Yeah, I think so. He's going to get a lot of upfront money that, you know, that, and considering Julio's age and, you know, the injury history or whatever, you don't want him stretching out a 5-year contract or something. But, yeah, just get a lot of money up front because he's worth it and you'll be done with it.
Here's Thomas Dimitroff talking about Julio's deal.
Julio first, no timeline on that. We'll continue to talk with both Julio and his representation. I mean, again, we have really good conversations with them. So there's no, you know, particular time on that. I'm not concerned about it, nor is he. We'll get that figured out. I know there's interest because of everything that's going on, with all the receivers in the league. Obviously, some big numbers talked about in a big situation there. But, look, we feel good with our communication there.
Next one, of course, is Grady Jarrett. And before we hear from the general manager, Randy, do you think that they're going to get a deal done or they're going to have to tag him and stick? Well, they already tagged him, but I have to stick with it.
I'm under the assumption that they're going to he's going to play on that tag this year. And that's why I said if they're going to tag Grady, they got to get a deal done with Deion. One of those two got to have a new deal coming in the next year. I'm not worried about Julio because I think they're going to get that deal. But one of those two guys, you got to get them a deal because you don't want one of both of them because they'll both be free agents.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You only tag one guy.
And you don't want to have to decide which one you're going to tag.
And the other guy would be, again, you can pick up the option on Keanu Neal. Again, when you're a first rounder, you have that fifth-year option. That's that pickle we're in with Vic.
Right.
Keanu's a guy, we don't want to lose. Vic's a guy I wish we had walked away from. But anyway, first things first, you got to have a guy in the middle to do the work, and that's Grady Jarrett. Here's Thomas on the timeline of the negotiation.
As far as Grady, we, of course, franchise tagged him, and that's where we are at this point. And, you know, you can negotiate that all the way up to just before training camp, so we have time to continue to discuss.
Love Grady's effort. Love the fact that if we could pair him with a bigger, maybe defensive tackle. I like Christian Wilkins out of Clemson, although he's probably not high enough for 14. Who would you like to see the Falcons? Just
like
go DT?
I like Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, or him, too?
I like Dexter Lawrence. And because I want to see a bigger player. I mean, I wouldn't be mad with Christian Wilkins right there. I love Ed Oliver. I do. But I don't like him paired with Grady. He's not Aaron Donald at all.
Too similar in body size, right?
He's not anywhere near Aaron Donald. I heard a great comparison, Mike, and this is a little closer. John Randall, a guy who's not going to be a big sack guy but get penetration up the field. But you still want him to be the three and not the nose. And that's why I don't see him as an Aaron Donald. The other thing, Mike, how big is he really? Because he weighed in at 287 at the combine. And he didn't run. We know why he didn't run. He was too heavy. So he, you know what I'm saying? So what is the weight that he's going to play? You're already small everywhere else. You got to have one big guy.
Isn't that funny, though? It's so funny. We talked earlier about Kyler Murray, how, you know, everybody knows the game that's being played. You know, they stretch him out literally and figuratively. So he hits and he puts weight on. And he's not going to run the 40 because obviously he's too heavy like other guys. You just talked about defensive guys in the same boat. Yeah. I mean, but these guys are still going to go. It's like these magic metrics that you got to hit for the combine. But at the end of the day, you all know it's smoke and mirrors anyway.
Exactly. But it's so funny, Mike, because when you're up there in Indianapolis, they try to make you feel so bad if you don't want to do something at the combine. They like to throw it in. Oh, you don't like to compete, huh? You know, I love to compete, dude. But why do I need to, you know, I love what Kyler Murray did. He got the height, the weight, and like, all right, I'm cool.
Right.
I loved it. I loved it.
Let's hear from the general manager, Thomas Dimitroff. Falcons have many options at 14.
Yeah, as much as we don't like being at 14 and, you know, affords us an opportunity to be a little more creative about, you know, whether we move up or whether we move back. Everyone continues to tell me that I never want to move back, but 14 is a good place to be considering, you know, the move back as well. So it just gives you some real flexibility, and you know that for sure at 14 there's going to be a legit player that you're going to be really excited about. And again, it's a really interesting draft this year. The people that are going to be around there through the first 20 something picks, in my mind.
You know, the thing is, Randy, I want to play the cut about Thomas when he was asked specifically about DeAndre Baker because he was out in Athens to watch him. Mike, the entire brass was out there. Obviously, Dan Quinn was out there with Thomas and everybody else. Bill Belichick, lots of NFL folks because there's Georgia players everybody wants to see. But real quick, take a listen when Thomas was asked about DeAndre Baker.
DeAndre had a really good day today. He's obviously quick, fast, explosive, can run, cover the field, very good range that way. And he's being reported as one of the best in the country, in the draft. So we'll be interested to see how that plays out.
Now, Carl picked up on this yesterday, Randy. Being described as one of the best in the country. Is that setting you up for a DeAndre Baker pick? Because there's enough defensive tackles, one could argue, you can still get quality in the second round.
And that's what you just took that. I was just about to say that, Mike. But you're absolutely correct. When you're talking about this defensive tackle, there's so many quote-unquote first-round graded D tackles that you might be able to get a guy in the second round. if he's there, and they need a corner, Mike, we know that. But I'm going to ask you this. If they take a corner in the first round, who does that say more about, Trufant or Oliver?
Well, certainly Isaiah Oliver. They loved his lengthy wingspan and all that. Like, he had growing pains last year.
Right.
Not everybody coming to be like Lattimore with the Saints, for instance. Some guys, they got to grow on the job.
Right.
But, you know, if you felt that he was such a stud at second round when you needed defensive tackle last year and offensive line last year, that you had to go with Isaiah Oliver, he's got to be plugged in. To me, it's more about Trufant's future.
Well, and then, like, he's still got a high debt cap number next year, too.
Right.
So you're hoping
you might as well just roll with it.
You're hoping that he has a bounce back year. But, I mean, when you're talking about 14, you can get so many different good players. There's going to be one of the top rated corners there. They love Mullen, the kid out of Clemson. So I heard Dear Orlando, you guys were talking to him about that. But I just want to see them draft a young offensive lineman in the first three rounds that can be the successor somewhere, a guy that can possibly, if something goes down with Alex Mack, because who is going to take over if something happens to Alex Mack?
Right. You need an heir apparent.
You know?
You got to look at some point, and this is why I've always been pushing the offensive line. And look, I hope these guys, you know, are going to pan out. And if you want to see what the Falcons' depth chart's going to look like, our buddy Jason. But he writes for The Athletic. He put it out there so he can see. And by the way, we just learned that Justin Hardy can be added to that wide receiver list. We figured Justin Hardy was gone, but he gets at least brought back, whether it's going to be a body for practice or he's actually going to be contributing. You know, I mean, we did get Kenyon Barner as a kick return man, so Hardy won't be doing the fair catch thing anymore, which is all he does anyway. We're the 24th worst team. I believe we're tied with Jacksonville for the anemic kick return. Yes. We don't do anything in the punt game.
Yeah, and it's amazing that hidden yardage you don't talk about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I know, you know, you talk about Keith and everything. I remember, you know, Keith would always say average a first down per return. You know, and eventually that stuff like that adds up, Mike. But it just hasn't been a threat. I thought Andre Roberts, I thought they would bring him back, actually, after the year he had with the Jets. But, you know, the Bills.
But let's be honest, guys. For Falcon fans, there's been no reason, quite honestly, during the punt, to not go up and use the bathroom or grab a beer unless we're back in the days of Devin Hester.
Yeah.
The last time we had any kind of moment where you might actually see something in the kick game. But getting back to my point about the drafting an offensive lineman, I'm hoping that James Carpenter can do the job. Jamon Brown, we also have the video of him slapping some iron. Look, these guys are bigger. You still say, though, Randy, it's going to be zone blocking scheme, but we'll have the physical side like the Eagles do?
Yeah, it's going to, because that is still the concept of the offense that Dan wants to run. He wants to run a zone scheme, whatever. That's just the basis, the outside zone, because a lot of the play action pass comes off of that. But what they're going to do now, and like I said, Malarkey, he's from the Pittsburgh days, old school downhill power gap scheme where you get double teams at the point of attack. And then you just, you know, and that's what, when I played for Malarkey, even he was the OC in Miami, that's what he wanted to do. Dan was there then. And so, and Dirk has a little bit of both. So it's going to be more physical. Let's put that. Right. And Dan wants to get physical.
It is the Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, guys. 50% off your favorite pizzas till the end of Sunday. Good weekend for a pizza party. Go to all the details at Domino's.com. A couple of guys hitting us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We don't get to read all of them, guys, because a ton of texts coming in at 404-741-0929. But a couple of guys saying we could never have afforded a guy like Justin Houston because, again, we'd have no room next year for the $12 million. I was talking about it more from an irony standpoint.
I'd love
to have Justin Houston, too.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I would not have kept Vic. I would have said, look, let's just eat it. You know, the way Jacksonville Jaguars traded Dante Fowler, they put their hands up.
They had more
Belichick does it all the time.
They had more depth on their defensive line to be able to move a Fowler. The Falcons don't have no defensive line depth.
And that's why I wanted Bruce Irvin, but we don't have money for that. And Bruce signs for $4 million with Carolina.
What role did you want Bruce as a starting defensive end?
No, just to rotate. I mean, because he was, how many snaps was he when he was here? Like 15?
Okay.
20?
Yeah, I'm just like, you know.
I just wanted some depth. To your point about depth, you know, I liked him.
Okay.
I mean, I know we kicked the idea around about Claiborne, but Claiborne really, you know, that was a one-trick pony against the Cowboys last year.
I agree with you, but it got him paid.
Two seasons ago.
Yeah, it got him paid, though. So.
Right.
Here's something, Mike. I believe when you draft players, first, second, third, fourth round, I believe they should be starters. Why are we not talking about Dinerson not as a starter? And then you go do, and you can take the best available player at 14. Why are we not talking about that?
Like, he didn't dress for a couple of games.
You know
what I'm
saying? You didn't draft him in the third round to be a rotational player.
Well, that's the thing. There were other. That's what goes back to the Isaiah Oliver conversation. You couldn't pass up Ridley because the talent was too good. And then the same argument for Isaiah Oliver. And then you got out of the elite defensive tackles that were going to be there in the first and second round. So then by the third round, no disrespect to Deidre, but he didn't bring anything other than, you know, he's a good guy. He's a rotational guy at best.
But a third round rotational guy. That's what I'm saying. You would think, okay, he learned away because of, you know, he didn't have much to, you know, to mentor him in front of him.
Right.
But at the same time, you'd be thinking third round, shouldn't you be starting next to
yes.
Brady? You know,
I think that you should be contributing. I'm with you, yeah. man, especially when you see how well our I take shots at the personnel department. We've done a really good job of getting guys in the third and the fourth round to start, especially on the offensive side at the skill positions. Hey, guys, Falcon Report brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Again, big story, Justin Hardy's back. What's he going to do? Is he just a guy? What are you going to do with him? We all like the guy, but I mean, so what? I like my brother. I don't want him, you know, returning kicks. Okay, bad analogy, Randy.
Yeah,
the point
terrible.
Being,
this is god awful. But I mean, at least you know one thing: when the ball is in the air on a punt team, you're pretty much sure that the Falcons are going to have the ball.
Right. Let's ask my kid brother, Andy. Would you like to return kicks?
Do I get to shoot it with a gun?
No, you don't. He's a cop. We'll come back. We get the big story of the day. March Madness began, and a little bit of madness, almost some madness with Auburn. We'll explain. Hey, man, it's the first day of spring. Randy Mack is in for Carl. Next couple of days, we're just hanging out, watching some hoops on our three TVs in studio. We got Deshaun, who's breathing a little easier now.
He's cool. He's cool now. It's Sparty number one, because he was out there sweating bullets.
College basketball expert who also runs our TriCaster. You go to watch us at Watch 92.9. We're not really dressed up, so you might want to not check it out today, but he's pushing the buttons. But Deshaun is a huge Michigan State fan, and it's so funny. Just like me watching Florida State, you know, early today with Vermont, or you watching Georgia, everybody's got their team. You're too close to it. And I'm, of course, like, damn it, Hamilton's going to screw this up. Talking about Coach Ham. Deshaun's like, what's he doing dribbling? Dribbling like an idiot. You know, he's just going on and on about his guy.
He's very upset.
But some interesting stuff earlier today on the first day of March Madness. Start with the big upset, and that was Louisville getting beat by Minnesota. And that is Chris Mack was the coach at Xavier. He had a great record at Xavier, like 8 trips to the to the Final Four, a bunch of Sweet 16s. But his first trip at Louisville ends in the first round as Rick Pitino's son, coaching the Gophers, don't you know, gets a little revenge on Louisville.
Is 7 losing to a 10, is that really that big a deal?
No, but I mean, it's an upset, okay. You know. But I mean, like, you guys like you and me had Louisville in some cases going Sweet 16 or at least winning this one. But so Randy was not too happy about that one.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you more about the upsets because obviously March Madness is the big story.
Yes.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Get John Foy on the case, man. Couple of things. Auburn, and we had Mike Conti in here in the first edition of In Case You Missed It, and we're basically like three guys making animal noises. It's like, oh, oh! I mean, just going bananas as the last 20 seconds of that game were just nuts. New Mexico State, the dreaded 12-5 upset special, and for a minute it looked like it. Auburn, they get a lead, they blow a lead. New Mexico State comes down, they've got an open look. Shooter kicks it out. A 2-pointer would have tied it, sent it to overtime. They go for a 3. Shooter gets fouled, misses the 3, and then misses one of his free throws. But wait, there's more. And then Auburn goes out of bounds. They knock the ball out. And so they get a 1.1 left on the clock. And a good look for New Mexico State at the end, but a bad shot on the 3.
Take the layup. Mike, they drew it up perfect. He blows past the defender. He has this left-handed layup sitting right there. He kicks it back out to the three-point line, and they get bailed out by the guys that we talked about earlier, the horrible officiating in college basketball. And he just got bailed out, missed the first one, made the second one, third one loops in and out, and then, you know, again, they had another chance to win in New Mexico State, and good luck, just missed it.
LSU, Coach Benford filling in for Will Wade, of course, is persona non grata. Jeff Schultz was saying that LSU shouldn't even be allowed in the tournament with his malfeasance because you got a guy sounded like an episode of The Sopranos on the phone. Give me 3 boxes of ziti. We need to get his mom 2 more boxes of ziti. You got to have code, right? Shouldn't you have some better code than just talking about paying off family members?
He's a better bag man that will take care of that. He said they made him a big blank offer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, say, no, let's up it just a little bit.
Well, interim coach Benford gets a job done as LSU struggles with Yale, but they win 79-74 down in Jacksonville. We already mentioned the Minnesota upset of Louisville. Auburn hangs on to win. Florida State, a 7-point winner over Vermont. And Michigan State, they had some trouble for a minute, but as we said, they finally get over the fighting. What's Bradley again? Squid, what's Bradley?
Didn't he say the puppies or something?
What's Bradley's thing?
Braves. The Bradley Braves.
The Braves.
No, because the mascot's a gargoyle.
But they're brightly Braves.
I'm just saying. Well, mixed messages with the mascot.
And then we got another one of my upsets. Maryland has just taken the lead back over Belmont, Mike.
Nice. All right. the legendary Belmont, you know, back in the day, upset specials. Kansas taking care of business against Northeastern. And another game, which is at 5-12. And a lot of people have Murray State beating Marquette. Do you have them on your brackets?
Yes, I do. I have. This is one of my 12-5s. I want to see John Morant. I want to see him play a little bit more. He's one of the most explosive players that nobody has seen. And you want to get a chance to see him play deep in these playoffs. But Marquette, they got a rough to it. And then Marcus Howard can fill it up too, though. Marcus Howard can score.
Right.
Can, I mean,
and by the way,
he dropped a 50 burger this year.
Georgia State, by the way, they play tomorrow. Viewing party, 7 o'clock over at 6 feet under, that way, south of where we are. And a great bar, great spot. So go check it out. And again, guys, you can hear the tournament action right now on our sister station, WAOK, 1380 News and Talk. And then we have the Hawks tonight. And then after the Hawks, we get back to all the West Coast games, Randy, as March Madness rolls on. So, I mean, yeah, you could argue that you and guys like you and me, I watched a bunch of Duke games. Didn't watch the Duke-Carolina game once Zion went out. Did watch the ACC semifinal. But for a lot of us, this is when you really do bear down and start watching this stuff. So we don't know jack about some of these middle mid-majors and small schools.
I'm not even going to fake the funk. We will not fake the funk. You know, because that's what we'll do. We'll fake that. And you're like, oh, yeah, I watched it. No, you didn't. You know, I try to catch as much as I can of college basketball. But, again, it's not as interesting as it used to be, Mike, because you don't know these players. I mean, you know Zion. And I love Dickie V, you know, and I think it's about time for him to walk away. But he said some craziness today. Mm-hmm. Do you think Zion saved college basketball?
It's got me more fired up about it. We had the whole
basketball.
Up until we knew where the Hawks were, and right now they're 5 games in hand over the Mavericks for the protected 5th pick. But, you know, get to Zion or Cam Reddish. But, yeah, Duke, and when a name brand school has got a transformative guy, like, for instance, you put him on the Knicks, even though their owner's a schnook and nobody wants to pay for him, they are the Knicks. But it would make the same thing happen when Patrick Ewing got there in 85, put him back on the map.
I think he's made it to a point where
No disrespect to Bernard King, but it put him back on the map.
I mean, I think he's made you come watch it. I don't think he saved college basketball because it's still same amount of people doing what you just said. Oh, it's tournament time. Let me fill out this bracket. And half the teams I don't know nothing about, but I just guess.
But Duke is a name brand. You know what I mean? There's name brands out there. Kansas, no one really feels this Kansas team is going to do it this year. But you have a chance, and they've never met in the tournament before. But the idea of a championship game in Minneapolis with Duke against North Carolina, the ratings would be bananas.
But again, we like this weekend, Mike, because of the upsets and everything. Mm-hmm. But when it's the Final Four, we want the blue blood.
Yeah, That's what you want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you said, this is for blanks and giggles.
Oh, yeah, you love it.
On Thursday and Friday, then after on Saturday, Sunday, all we want is chalk. You're right about that, man. Hey, it's a big story today. Again, Strong Arm Story brought to you by John Foy. A couple of things today for Falcon fans. If you missed the Falcon report, they decided to stick with Justin Hardy for 1 year, which kind of had you and I going, like, literally went,
All right. All right,
Randy literally turned his head like a cocker spaniel. You went,
But let's hope Jay Hart, he comes in, he gets him a spot, he plays well. I want him to play well. Just don't feel real comfortable thinking that he will.
Justin Houston signs with the Colts, a 2-year deal. Not that we would have ever had the money to pay him. And again, he's a guy, as Randy pointed out, in his prime, solid, but has not been able to stay healthy. That's why the Chiefs moved on.
That's the biggest thing. His price tag did not match his production. And also, the Chiefs are switching to a 4-3, which I don't understand. I never understood why your two best players are your outside rushers, even though Chris Jones gets busy in the middle. But I'm like, why would you change that out and go to nobody pass rusher? Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, earlier today, great job by Squid Billy on the Yeah Man, No Man, or Yeah Buddy, Nobody. Sammy, we were talking about the top 20 movies for the 90s. I think that's going to be our game winner tonight. Yeah, I did look it up during the commercial break. I found it out. We were talking about, was Shawshank a big hit? Yeah. And Wikipedia is always right, so I found it over there. Apparently, it only made $16 million during the first run. But then because of all the Oscar nominations, it got more money. So it actually doubled its budget. It made over like $54 million.
Bunky texts me, Andy Bunker texts me. He's like, what about Friday? How is Friday not on that list? How is New Jack City not on that list? Or Boys in the Hood?
Well, that's a separate list, Randy. Separate but equal.
I don't want to hear it, man. That's like the Family Feud answers. What? How am I supposed to know that? I mean, come on, man.
Well, again, when you see how this played out, there was a lot of folks. Let's be honest. There were some white bread movies in here, to be quite honest.
Come on, man.
There was a lot of like Family Fare that was in the mix.
Nino Brown was one of the most, decorated.
You don't have to tell me that. I love that movie. Yeah. Rock-a-bye, baby.
Yeah, come on, man. And then Ricky. Ricky had a scholarship. Ricky running away.
There's another list.
And then how do we not learn? What did we learn about Friday that is cool, that is funny when you get fired on your day off?
These are all iconic movies.
You know what he said. You put them up. You fought with these. Sometimes you win some and you lose some.
Squid Billy just told me who compiled the list. It was from the Salt Lake City Journal. That's why.
That's
Randy.
What it sounds like.
That's why.
They didn't have casino on there. Come on, man.
And that is true. We talked about it earlier. Table that one for later. We'll get into some 90s movies for your game winner tonight because it was actually a real good job from Squid. We got Mike Conti coming up with it in case you missed it. Hey, before I forget, by the way, I want to give a shout out. You ever walk into a restaurant late and you know you're like the last guy who just walked through the door?
All the time.
And the dude in the kitchen is like, we're about to clean up here. Can you really? Can you?
All the time.
Well, I want to give a shout out. We went to McCrae's last night, and Scotty did a wine tasting last night upstairs at a top.
Right.
Very cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wife's like, I like all of them. So I had to buy a lot of wine last night. But okay. Later on, we walked down the street, and I just want to give a shout out because if you've it's right around the corner down here, Punchinella. It's a fantastic little spot, great pasta. Pasta to Punchinella. I walked in, and I'm like, you guys still open? And the maitre d' or the host gave me the look like, oh, you knew. And I was like, we'll order really quick. Really quick. So, and my wife, I don't know about you, your wife, my wife takes forever to
all
order.
All day.
You cannot rush my wife. And then she gets all.
Yes.
Starts with a P, ends with a Y. Yep. Z. You get it? You know, but that becomes a thing. So I sit down, I go, oh, great, I'll have the special, and we'll get a Caesar salad, and I'll get a bottle of Barbaresco. And I rattled it out. She's like, I'm not ready. You rushed me. But so you feel like a jerk because, you know, they're staying open for you. But anyway, thanks to the guys. They're really cool about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's always that, what do you want to eat? Or she come, baby, I'm hungry. What do you want to eat, sweetie? What do you feel like it? You just came to me and said you were hungry. Yes, all day. It happens.
This is universal. All right, what do we got? I don't have it on the TV in here. What's going on over there?
Belmont botched a possession with the clock running out. They had a timeout, and they turned the ball over. He picked up his dribble.
Yeah, we don't like Maryland since they quit the right? Since Maryland moved on from the ACC. We have no interest in them.
They're dead to us.
But it looks like they're going to hang on. So far, the only big upset is Louisville is out. Mike Conte is going to roll in next, guys, with in case you missed it on Dukes and Bell.
On Dukes and Bell.
Our man, Mike Conti, is hanging out with us, and his segment brought to you by our buddies at Rooms to Go. You love the highliner, don't you?
I do. Headliner. I don't know what a highliner is, but the headliner is outstanding. You got to check that out.
Mike's doing a great job today, keeping us updated. I didn't know I was running points today. I saw Randy in here today. I'm like, what's going on? What are you doing here?
And I was like, Mike, not just like coming down here.
My partner didn't even tell me he's off, you know, today and tomorrow.
What's amazing is just judging by what's going on around the office today.
Right.
How many absent people do you think actually went through the formal request to, appropriately get their paint time off?
Interesting.
Because a lot of people around the office appear to have been taking half days today.
I hear you, man.
A lot of closed doors.
Well, heavy is the head that wears the crown of mismanagement. All right, and now to talk about what's going on in the world.
I'm looking for where the big upset is going to be because we haven't really had it. We've had, we just saw the end of the Belmont game. Maryland and Belmont. Mm. And by the way, if they ever change the college rule to let you inbound at half court in the final 2 minutes,
right,
that's a game changer because we saw Belmont get tripped up by that. And Auburn. Auburn was fortunate because New Mexico State, they nearly got them. But I'm looking at tonight, Kentucky's not going to lose to Abilene Christian, right? That's
no.
not going to happen.
No.
You hear the coach split his pants? You hear about that?
Yeah, and he's got to wear the same suit.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
He's leading on, man. Yeah. I don't want to hear that. They'll go to the mall. Get you some pants.
Is Michigan going to lose to Montana tonight? I don't see it.
You're right. It's
Purdue strong. Old Dominion. I would have to ask Deshaun Tate out there. Like, Purdue and Old Dominion. I'm not a big believer in the Boilermakers.
I took the Boilermakers.
We'll see. Because it's been chalked to this point, except for Minnesota. And that was a 10-7 game, and that's not a monumental upset. But the games have been very, very fun to watch. And we will have the tournament here on 92.9 The Game once the Hawks game is over tonight. You can listen to everything right now on 1380 WAO.
By the way, a guy hit us up on the text line, Mike. And just for our younger listeners, because some of us do speak in a vernacular that was very comfortable for us over the years in the sports business, they don't know what chalk means.
Really?
Yes. In the old days, guys, a couple guys have hit us up. Chalk, basically, you would write in a sports book, they'd have the number and the lines would be in chalk, all the favorites, et cetera. Right. So the phrase goes back to if all the favorites roll through, it's chalk.
Wow. I mean, I thought that was pretty common vernacular. But, okay, I'm glad we're educating our younger listeners.
Southpaw is because when you're facing north, the left hand is south.
Southpaw.
southpaw.
Now, that does not mean that a right-hander is a northpaw.
Right.
That is not correct.
I just remember Rocky Balboa explaining to Adrian the whole time.
Southpaw.
Yeah.
Southpaw. Now, the senior circuit, that's the National League because it's older than the American League.
That is also correct. The American League, hence, is the junior circuit. Okay. We have
now. Hope you're up to speed, everybody.
We have an incident of extreme controversy in the figure skating world. Now, this is not.
Oh God, no!
This is not an Olympic year. Okay,
right.
So the best you can do in a non-Olympic year is win the ISU World Championship, which is currently taking place in Japan. And we have had an incident involving Mariah Bell, who's a 22-year-old American figure skater. And a 16-year-old Lim Eun-soo from South Korea.
Okay.
And the South Korean says that during a warm-up, before the, I guess, the, I don't know, it was the free skate or the short program, whatever it's called, during the warm-up, Mariah Bell came careening into her, skate exposed, and deliberately slashed her across the Achilles.
Oh!
Why? Why?
Again, for millennials, that's Nancy Kerrigan, by the way.
You want to feel old? 25 years ago.
Really?
25 years ago. Holy shit.
So she really sliced her Achilles with a skate?
Well, yes.
So she's flopping around the ice like a salmon?
Well, it's first of all, it's during a warm-up. Second of all, the Korean was able to continue with the competition, ended up finishing fifth. One spot ahead of the American that she claims sliced her.
Oh, so it was like a little scratch. It wasn't like how they got by.
You try and do a soft cow with a bleeding tendon.
And by the way, figure skates are I'm not saying that.
You said slash. I mean, it could have cut two. They ain't cutting them up like they did old boy in Oz when they cut up the policeman who was playing basketball.
Not Adebisi on Rick Fox
up like that.
That's a great reference, by the way. That was terrible what they did to him. It was the cop from Iowa who played college ball, and they held him down and they sliced
and
his Achilles.
And they had a scout there that day.
It was terrible. Mm. Because Rick Fox, playing the role of Jackson Vayhew, was like
good memory.
Yamming on everyone in the prison yard at Oz, and the guard thought he could take him. All right. According to the agent for the South Korean skater, Lim Eun-soo, she says that the American, Mariah Bell, has been training partners with the Korean and that the American has been bullying her client for months.
Wow.
So they have gone to the Korean Skating Union to ask for a formal investigation into this incident.
Trying to take her out, Mike. Just trying to take her out, huh?
That's what she's accused of doing. She has not responded to the allegations. I, for one, welcome a little bit of controversy in sports like figure
skating. I do.
I don't want to see anyone get hurt.
But you know what?
But a little bit of, like, the Tonya Harding thing was crazy.
And Nancy Kerrigan. For those who remember, Nancy Kerrigan was...
Did you see that movie?
Oh, God.
The Tonya Harding movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the porno or the motion picture?
The motion picture, Mike.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Mike. I'm sorry, Mike.
Come on. They made a feature movie about that incident, and it was pretty good.
It was okay, wasn't it?
Okay.
Her mom's a trip.
Well, her mom is definitely not the hero of the movie. Let's just put it that way. Where were we? Okay,
So,
the value of controversy in a sport like figure skating, when that whole Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing, the Winter Olympics that year, when they skated those two nights, got higher ratings than all but like two or three Super Bowls ever.
Because everybody wanted to see that.
And Oksana Bayul won the whole thing.
Yeah, Tonya.
Yeah, it was kind of, ruined the whole point of it, right? Yeah, Nancy Kerrigan barely missed out. Then she went to Disney World and acted a fool with Mickey Mouse. It wasn't good. All right. I know you guys earlier this week had talked a little bit about this whole Rush Probst thing down in Colquitt County.
Right. A lot of crazy rumors are flying around.
There are a lot of crazy rumors. And a newspaper in Moultrie, Georgia, finally got the investigative report, a copy of it. So now we know a little bit more as to why Rush Probst got fired as the head coach at Colquitt County.
Legendary high school coach, for those who don't
know.
Was in Hoover, really old two-a-days. Yes.
Won state championships here in Georgia. Won a lot of state championships in Alabama, had to move to Georgia because there was an issue with him having...
like a double life?
Yeah.
Y'all been to Hoover, right?
Yeah.
Hoover's that? I mean, it's real small.
Well, it's not that small. Yeah, it's a suburb of Birmingham.
It's too small to have two wives across the road.
He's right there, Mike.
Well, I'm not sure if the second woman was his wife or not, but anyhow. So here's what they got Rush Probst on. And this is directly from the report in the Moultrie Observer.
All right.
Couple things. Most notably, providing pills on more than one occasion to students. None of the documents, though, identifies the type of medication except for one witness who said the pills he saw might have been Aleve.
What's the problem there? That's over the counter.
Well, now, hold on. That's only one allegation.
Okay.
He also, how is this possible for a teacher? He owes $301,000 in federal income taxes.
Really?
And $143,000 in delinquent state income taxes.
Well, he's a six-figure coach. He's just not paying the IRS.
That's all that
apparently
is.
Not ever. But I guess he also tried to charge a hotel stay to the school district, and that raised a red flag and some sportsmanship issues. Yeah. Just a whole big mess.
You got to be careful with the Aleve.
Man, we could have broke the story. We had the inside scoop on this a couple days ago. We heard rumors, but again, you can't go with it if you can't verify it. But there was some stuff that was out there. Interesting, Mike. Mike, you having a good day?
Yes, it's been very busy.
Thank you. Yeah. You never saw the Tonya Harding homemade video? I guess I'm the only guy in the room.
No, I didn't say I didn't see it.
I never said
I didn't see it.
You're a creep like me. We'll come back. The big three stories of the day, the headlines right here. And hey, United fans, coming up in about a half hour's time, Julian Gressel joined us earlier. See what number 24 has to say about Frank DeBoer and getting this team back on track.
Why?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.